OAuth 2 secured Rabbit MQ over a MQP 0.9.1. Secure your Spring Boot app's messaging with OAuth 2, not guest/guest. Rabbit MQ joins your HTTP API Spring security setup as a resource server. You already secure your Spring app with OAuth 2. You secure your Spring app's HTTP endpoints with Spring Security's OAuth 2 support. Keycloak issues the token. Your app is a resource server that validates the JWT against the JWKS, checks the issuer and the AUD claim, and authorizes each request by the scopes inside the token. That is the standard setup, and you have probably wired it a dozen times. Here is the part nobody tells you. A message broker can be an OAuth 2 resource server too. The same Spring app's messaging can be secured the exact same way as its HTTP, with Rabbit MQ validating the same JWTs against the same keycloak. The broker does not have to be a separate auth island guarded by guest/guest or a shared service account. What pushed me to try it? Rabbit MQ shipped an OAuth 2 auth backend, and on every project I have worked on, broker connections were the awkward exception. We had an IDP, usually keycloak, sitting right there for the HTTP side. But the broker still got its own technical user, provisioned by hand, shared around, and quietly abused until nobody was sure which service owned which credential. A second login system for the one component that least needed one. The thing is, an OAuth 2 architecture only has four roles: client, authorization server, resource server, and resource owner. So why stand up a separate credential mechanism for the broker at all? Let the broker be the resource server and let the apps talking to it be the clients. That is the whole idea. Here it is. I built a small demo to prove it to myself. The repo is SpringOAuth 2 MQP 0.9.1, and the whole thing runs with one command. It speaks a MQP 0.9.1. The protocol Spring a MQP has spoken for a decade. If you are on Rabbit MQ4's native a MQP 1.0 client instead, the MQP 1.0 follow-up ports this same demo and the same security model to it. The broker is just another resource server. Everything in your OAuth 2 architecture stays identical between HTTP and messaging, except two rows. Here is the whole story in one table. Table omitted. The top three rows are your existing OAuth 2 setup, untouched. The last two rows are what this article covers. A scope stops mapping to an HTTP endpoint authority and starts mapping to a publish or consume permission, optionally pinned to a routing key. And the token stops writing in a bearer header and starts writing as the MQP connection password. Spend your attention on those two rows. Everything else you already know. See it and force a scope. Before any config, the shape of it. Three Spring services, one keycloak, one broker that checks tokens. A dispatcher accepts an HTTP job and publishes it. A worker consumes the job, uppercases the payload, and publishes a result. A reporter consumes the result and logs it. Each service is a separate keycloak client with its own scopes, and the broker enforces those scopes on every publish and consume. Start the whole stack with one command. Code block omitted. Then trigger a job over HTTP. Code block omitted. The job flows through and the reporter logs the uppercased result. Now the interesting bit. The reporter holds a results read scope and nothing else, and as the table promised, that scope maps to a read permission at the broker, not a write one. If it ever tried to publish, the broker would close the channel with a 403 access refused before a single byte reached an exchange. Not a check in application code. The broker refuses it. I will prove that with the integration tests further down, but keep the refusal in mind, because that refusal is what the rest of the article is about. Keekloak, nothing new here. The Keekloak side is a plain OAuth2 client setup, and that is exactly the point. One realm, one confidential client per service, the client credentials grant, and a set of scopes per client. If you want the full walkthrough of how Keekloak audience mappers and client scopes work, I covered that in Token Exchange with Spring Cloud Gateway. I won't repeat it here. The one detail that matters for the broker is the audience. RabbitMQ rejects any token whose AUD claim doesn't contain its resource server ID. So the setup script adds an OIDC audience mapper that injects AUD, RabbitMQ into every token and marks it so it never reads as a permission. Code block omitted. That AUD, RabbitMQ is the messaging equivalent of scoping a JWT to a downstream API. The audience scope is assigned as a default to all three clients including token scope equals false, so RabbitMQ never shows up in the scope claim where it could be misread as a permission. The per-service scopes are the only thing that differs between clients. Table omitted. One more thing worth flagging now. Access token lifespan is 300 seconds, 5 minutes. That number is the one to keep an eye on for a long-lived consumer like the worker, and I come back to it just before the production hardening list. RabbitMQ as the resource server. This is the first of the two rows that change. Everything RabbitMQ does here is what an HTTP resource server does, expressed for a broker. It validates JWTs like any resource server. RabbitMQ ships an OAuth2 plugin, RabbitMQAuth backend OAuth2, the name you enable. Once enabled, it registers an auth backend module, RabbitAuth backend OAuth2 node. No MQ, which you list in auth backends in RabbitMQConf alongside the internal backend, then point at Keekloak's JWKS endpoint. Code block omitted. On every connection, the OAuth2 backend pulls Keekloak's signing keys, verifies the token signature, and confirms the AUD claim contains RabbitMQ. That resource server ID has to match the AUD value the audience mapper set on the Keekloak side, or the token gets rejected. It is the same JWKS signature, same audience check an HTTP resource server runs, just performed by the broker at connect time. That same local JWKS validation, with no callback to the authorization server, is what an MCP server runs against a broker's ES256 tokens. I cover that in the DCR proxy post. The internal backend is listed first as a fallback, so the management UI stays usable with admin/admin. That is a convenience for the demo and a thing to remove in production, which I cover later. Scopes map to permissions, the messaging twist. A scope in the token becomes a publish or consume permission on a specific resource, down to the routing key. This is the part worth slowing down for. It's where messaging stops looking like HTTP. RabbitMQTKS native permission format is permission, vhost/resource, with an optional third segment that restricts the routing key. Rather than stuff that verbose format into Keekloak, the demo uses scope aliases to map short scope names onto the native scopes. Code block omitted. Decode the first line. The dispatcher's job's write scope expands to a write permission on any vhost on the job's exchange, restricted to routing keys matching job. That third segment is doing real work. The dispatcher can publish job submitted to the job's exchange, but it cannot publish to any other exchange, and it cannot use a routing key outside the job, *glob. That is the messaging analog of this scope, grants access to post/jobs and nothing else. The permission is just expressed in broker terms instead of HTTP terms. For those permissions to have something to act on, the topology is loaded from definitions JSON on every boot. Two durable topic exchanges, jobs and results, and two queues, jobs inbound with job, hash and results out bound with result. Hash. Nothing exotic. The full file is in the repo. The services as OAuth 2 clients. On the Spring side, each service is a textbook OAuth 2 client. Here is the dispatcher's application IML. Code block omitted. The registration ID is RabbitMQ Broker. The grant is client credentials, and the only thing that differs per service is the client ID and the scope list. The worker registration requests jobs read and results write. The reporter requests results read. There is no user in this flow, which is exactly right for service-to-service messaging. Each service authenticates as itself. A small at configuration builds the manager that actually fetches tokens. It is the service-to-service manager wired to the client credentials provider. Code block omitted. Nothing here is broker-specific yet. If you have ever set up a Spring service that calls another OAuth 2 API with client credentials, this is the same code you wrote. This is also where I lost most of an afternoon, and it had nothing to do with RabbitMQ. The token post to Keycloak runs over the JDK's default HTTP client, which negotiates HTTP/2. Behind Trefic on ClearText, that means a H2C upgrade, and the upgrade just hung. No error, no timeout I could read anything into. The token fetch simply deadlocked, and the service never finished starting. I spent hours staring at the wrong layer before the penny dropped that the problem was the protocol handshake, not OAuth 2 and not the broker. The fix was to back Spring's HTTP client with Apache HTTP Components 5, which negotiates HTTP/1.1 there and skips the upgrade entirely. Code block omitted. One dependency, no code. Spring's REST client picks up Apache HTTP Client 5 when it is on the class path. The token post goes out over HTTP/1.1, and the deadlock is gone. I am leaving this here because it cost me real time and the symptom points nowhere near the cause. The one new wire, token as the connection password. Now the second row that changes. The token reaches RabbitMQ as the MQP connection password, and that one swap is the only genuinely broker-specific code in the whole project. The RabbitMQ Java client has a credentials provider interface that the connection factory calls to get a username and password. The trick is to implement it so the password is the OAuth 2 access token. Code block omitted. The username is empty. The password is the JWT, where an HTTP client would set authorization. Bearer, the MQP client hands the same token to the broker as the connection password. That swap is the whole transport difference between securing HTTP and securing messaging. The real provider null checks the authorized result before reading the token. I trimmed that guard here for clarity. The second piece is how you attach this without throwing away Spring Boot's auto-configuration. The tempting move is to hand-build a connection factory, but the moment you define that bean yourself, Boot backs off and silently drops every other Spring Rabbit asterisk setting you have, including SSL bundles, addresses, and timeouts. Instead, register a connection factory customizer and only swap in the credentials provider. Code block omitted. Boot still owns the caching connection factory. The customizer only changes how it authenticates. While we're on Boot's auto configuration, one note for anyone on Spring a MQP4. The message converter is Jackson JSON message converter, not the Jackson 2 JSON message converter you may have muscle memory for. The class was renamed for the Jackson 3 upgrade. The old converter is deprecated in 4.0 and no longer the default, so reach for the new name. Proving least privilege. The claim is that the broker, not the application, enforces these boundaries. The way to prove it is to connect to RabbitMQ directly with each service's token and try the publishes the application would never attempt. The reporter is the clearest case. It holds results read, consumes results out, and has deliberately no rabbit template bean, so the application code cannot publish anything in the first place. But that is the inner layer. The point of this section is the outer one. Even if a bug introduced a publish call, the broker would refuse it for lack of a right scope. The integration test is plain Node with AmpLib, no test framework. It fetches a real client credentials token per service and connects exactly the way the services do, with an empty username and the token as the password. Code block omitted. Then it asserts the matrix. The allowed cases succeed. The dispatcher publishes job submitted to jobs. The worker publishes results ready to results. The refused cases are where the broker earns its keep. Code block omitted. Three refusals, each a different shape of least privilege. The reporter results read tries to publish results ready and is refused. It has no right scope anywhere. The dispatcher jobs right tries to publish to the results exchange and is refused. Its right scope grants the jobs exchange only, so it cannot cross over. The worker results right tries to publish internal audit to results and is refused. Its right scope is pinned to the result, asterisk routing key, and internal audit falls outside it. Every one of those closes the channel with a 403 access refused frame. The application never gets a vote. Run it yourself with MissC run demo in one terminal and MissC run test, integration in another. Keeping the token alive on a long-lived connection. Remember the 300-second token lifespan I told you to keep an eye on. This was the part I worried about most, so I went back and closed it. The failure turned out nastier than I had assumed. Here is what I had wrong. I figured an expired token would get the connection dropped, and the client would reconnect with a fresh one. On a MQP 0.9.1, which is what Spring a MQP speaks, that is not what happens. The broker keeps the connection open and refuses each operation instead. A basic publish comes back 403 access refused with provided JWT token has expired at timestamp. Because the connection never drops, the client never re-authenticates, so it sits there presenting the same dead token indefinitely. And it fails quietly. The dispatcher's post/jobs keeps returning 202 accepted the whole time because it accepts the job and publishes behind the response. The publish is refused, the job is gone, and nothing surfaces the error. I watched it fail first, with the token lifespan dialed down to 60 seconds so I would not have to wait 5 minutes. Code block omitted. That corrects a guess from an earlier draft of this post. On 0.9.1, the broker refuses operations. It does not disconnect. A MQP 1.0 is the one that proactively drops the connection. The fix is two small pieces, and it leans on a hook the RabbitMQ Java client already has. First, OAuth2 credentials provider implements two more methods from the client's credentials provider interface. GetTime before expiration reports how long the current token has left. Read straight off Spring's OAuth2 access token. Refresh evicts the cached client so the next GetPassword mints a brand new token. Code block omitted. Second, AMP configuration adds a credentials refresh service bean and sets it on the factory inside the same customizer that already installed the credentials provider. Code block omitted. Once the provider reports a non-null expiration and a refresh service is present, the RabbitMQ client registers every connection and, at 80% of the token's lifetime the builder default, renews it in place. It calls refresh, reads the new password, and pushes it to the broker on the open connection with the MQP update secret method. Spring Security mints a fresh token, the client hands it over, and the broker accepts it without a reconnect. The token still rides as the connection password. This just swaps in a live one before the old one dies. The proof is the same shape as the failure. With the fix and a 60-second token, the publishing connection stayed up past 3 times the token lifetime, with 0 refusals, and the broker logged a renewal roughly every 48 seconds, which is 80% of 60. Code block omitted. There is an automated test for it now in test/testTS, run with Massey run test integration. It shortens the Realm's token lifespan to 15 seconds and uses Antplib's update secret, the same broker mechanism the services rely on, to prove both halves, that the broker refuses an expired token and that an in-place renewal keeps a live connection publishing past expiry. Code block omitted. One scope note. This article stays on a MQP 0.9.1 and Springa MQP, where update secret is the renewal mechanism. Rabbit MQ4 also speaks a MQP 1.0 natively, which proactively disconnects an expired token instead of refusing operations. And there is a newer SpringRabbit MQ client module for it with built-in OAuth2, an automatic token refresh. I ported this whole demo to it in the MQP 1.0 follow-up. The broker config and scopes do not move, the client side gets smaller, and the token lifecycle is the one thing that genuinely changes. Production hardening. This is a demo built for clarity, and there are gaps you would close before trusting it with anything real, in rough order of how much they would keep me up at night. Secrets are committed as demo defaults. Dispatcher secret and friends sit in plain text, and the broker, Postgres, and Keycloak Bootstrap all use admin/admin. The services already read their secrets from $*client-secret in vars and only fall back to the defaults, so moving them to a secrets manager is a config change, not a code change. TLS is effectively off. A MQP runs as plain text on 5672, Keycloak serves plain HTTP, and the broker's JWKS hop to Keycloak runs with verify none against a self-signed cert. The bearer token crosses the wire unencrypted. In production, you want a real CA, verify peer on the JWKS fetch, and AMPs end-to-end. The internal auth backend is listed first. Auth backend's .1 equals rabbit auth backend internal keeps a fully privileged, nano-auth2 path into the broker open so the management UI works with admin/admin. For production, drop it or at least stop ordering it first, so OAuth2 is the only way in. The dispatcher/jobs endpoint is unauthenticated. Its security configuration is any request, permit all, because this demo is about broker-level auth, not the HTTP edge. In production, you would make the dispatcher an OAuth2 resource server too, which is the user-facing flow I walked through in Token Exchange with Spring Cloud Gateway. One Spring app, secured across surfaces. There's no second auth system on the broker. You secured your Spring app's messaging with the same Spring Security OAuth2 setup that already guards its HTTP. The same Keycloak, the same client credentials clients, the same scopes. Only 2 things changed. Scopes started mapping to publish and consume permissions instead of HTTP authorities, and the token started riding as the MQP connection password instead of a bearer header. The HTTP surface of this same story, OAuth2 at the Spring Cloud Gateway, is Token Exchange with Spring Cloud Gateway, and the same demo ported to Rabbit MQ4's native MQP 1.0 client is Rabbit MQ over a MQP 1.0. Both, with this post, are chapters of the Spring Boot and OAuth2 guide. The full source for the messaging surface is Spring OAuth2 MQP 0.9.1. Clone it, run Massey run demo, and watch the broker refuse a publish it was never authorized to make.